This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Makes you more guarded, like you are more guarded as a person, like you guard yourself from emotions coming in. So yeah, I do feel more guarded per se from that experience. Yeah,
but I feel like it also makes us so ambitious too, because we want to like prove to people that, you know, we're more than our stutter and, you know,
yeah,
and you know, so
there's a huge chip on the shoulder. Yes, absolutely.
Welcome back to Proud Stutter. I'm your host, Maya Chubkov. We have Kanav Hasija here. He is a tech entrepreneur and a person who stutters. Kanav, welcome to Proud Stutter.
Thank you. Thank you, Maya.
Yeah. So, Kanav and I, we actually met in person earlier this year in Berkeley, California, which is where Kanav lives. I am a huge fan of Berkeley. I was actually just there this morning, so any excuse I have to visit there, I always love it. But yeah, and I know there's a lot I want to talk about, especially with your the project and that you're working on for kids who stutter. But before we get into that, I'd love to just talk a little bit more about maybe your origin story with your stutter, and just really if we can kind of go back to the beginning of when did you first realize that you had a stutter, and what was it like growing up for you?
Yeah, it was... So I was born and raised in India. So there's a suburb close to the capital of Delhi called Faridabad. And we moved there. The family moved there when I was 2 years old. And I think I started stuttering somewhere in the age of probably 7 to 9 years old, somewhere in that range. It was the formative years of communication, and I picked up stuttering, and it still cannot remember the early days of stuttering, but I think what I do remember is immediately within a few months, I developed a severe stuttering where I could not speak a single sentence properly. And in primary and middle school, there used to be more bullying than you could imagine. So with more bullying around me, it became harder to overcome stuttering. And also there is very less education about stuttering in India is it a problem? Can it be cured? Will it be cured automatically? Doing intervention for it? So it was very hazy for my family and my community around me to kind of support me. So it changed a lot when my father took a job in Delhi, the capital. So it was like going from a suburb to the capital. And we had to change our place and our school. So I was in high school then, so talked to my dad, like, let's choose a school that's more humbling. And I kind of took it on myself that I'm the only one who can help myself. I took the fear head on. So I was good at math and science at that time. So I started participating in quizzes where you have to, like, you're not doing a big elocution, but you're like giving out an answer pretty fast. It's a buzzer round or what have you. Like, you have to give an answer pretty fast. So kind of take the fear head on, and then a new city, new friends, like, that helped me a lot. And then eventually, within those 2 years of high school, I was, it evolved from doing like quizzes to elocutions to like long speeches. And that I did fumble, I did stutter, I did have discrepancies, but it was that fear that kind of went away. And then when I went for my undergrad, it was again a change in city. And my network. So I kind of took the full opportunity of that, and I even further reduced my fears and started taking part in clubs and activities, and, you know, spearheading some club events myself and all that stuff. So, but yeah, I think it was the change in scenarios and change in cities and all coming back.
Yeah, it sounds like you've come a long way, and the change in scenery along the way has really helped with your stuttering journey. Maybe it gave you more space to kind of reinvent yourself. There's like a narrative out there with like, oh, like when you change scenery, it can be like really frustrating because you're like leaving, you have to like make new friends and you have to you know, adapt, and you're not like in that comfort of like being with the people you've grown up with. But it sounds like for you it's been more of a positive.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, you can spin it both ways. The scenario and the friend circle I'm in, everyone knows I stutter and they bully me. I'm going into a new scenario and a new friend circle, they don't know I stutter. And I can make my own mark, right? So, like, can I make my own personality? My personality was dead. I was a dead personality in my old network. Mm-hmm. Can I become a new personality, in a new network? So it kind of, I just spun it the other way.
Spinning it the way that you want it. And yeah, no, I love that. And I think just thinking about my own experience, like, because I pretty much grew up surrounded by the same people. And then when I went to college, that's kind of where everything shifted for me in a positive way. And I feel like that's when I started developing better friendships and I found myself more. And I think, yeah, there is this kind of, not trap, but like, yeah, if you're in the same environment and with the same people, it's kind of like the growth aspect can be limiting.
Yes, absolutely. Where did you go? What area did you grow up in, and what area was it college in?
So I grew up in LA, so Los Angeles, this little suburb in Los Angeles. And then I went to school in Santa Barbara, and it was a huge school. So there was just so much opportunity to like be who you wanted to be. And yeah, and I just felt like, yeah, I wasn't being limited by this perception that people already had of me.
Yes, that's so important. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. So you are now living in the US. So how did you land in the US? Was it something you always wanted to do? And also you're a tech entrepreneur now. So I'd love to kind of hear how your career has been over time, from like doing these quizzes and from, you know, doing these longer form speeches to where you are now, and what role did your stutter play in all of that?
During my engineering in India, I was working on some invention that, you know, the long and short of it is I was working on a piezoelectric material, which if expands or collapses, it generates power. And my theory was, if I put them in the sole of the shoe, I can charge my iPod while I jog. So that was the idea. I was working on it back in the day. It was 2007, 6 or 7. And then it didn't get good traction because hardware inventions were not that good in India. But within like 10 months of trying it out, I learned that someone in Europe was working on the same invention, and they sold a patent in millions to a multinational corporation. And the 18-year-old kid in me was like, what the heck is a patent and how do you put a price tag to it? And so I learned about what is a patent in India, but no one could teach me how to put a price tag to it, like how to value a patent, because there was not much transactions happening in India in the patent environment. Unlike US, it was the hotbed for transacting patents on a daily basis. So after engineering, I planned to come to US to study the art of valuing a patent. So I went to a law school for 1 year. Not a JD, but a master's. And that led me to swim deeper in the data of patents and financial data. Like, it was all publicly available, which led me to go back onto my passion of software coding. So I used to code since I was 12 years old. So I kind of picked it back up. Data was exploding. Back in 2011 on the digital scale. So I partnered with my co-founders in India. And I went back to India after that. And I was like, let me start a company. Let me start a data platform business with my co-founders, which was a very horizontal business, but then it verticalized to healthcare. So within 4 years, we were solving healthcare through data. And we realized US has the most problem with healthcare data. It is so siloed, and so it is not collaborated a lot across different ecosystems. And that's one of the few reasons which makes healthcare less affordable. And we wanted to, so then we moved back again to US. Depending on this business, and try to make healthcare more affordable through our business. Did a good job, had a good run. I think within 8 years, we had 7 of top 10 health systems on the customers, and you know, 50 of top 100, and we reduced the cost of care by $3 billion. So, all good stuff. And then I was like, let me take a break for 6 months and bit of, I like breaking from scratch. So I was like, I think it's become me now. So let me go back and break from scratch again. And now I'm onto my second journey of using our technology to help the construction industry. So construction is, again, an industry which is challenged by data floating around, and then so many stakeholders, and productivity is a big issue in that industry. So I'm trying to solve that for technology. But yeah, I think, how did stuttering help me? I think in this whole journey, I would say, because I wanted to express myself, but the inability to express myself was always there as a stutterer, it helped me make me more efficient on how to communicate, because I knew I had so many words. Like, a non-stutterer has infinite words to speak. A stutterer has only few words to speak before they kind of start to stutter. So the right choice of words and how to communicate became an art for me, more than a handicap, which I use a lot in my business to communicate in a simpler way and a better way to the audience. And so that was one. I think the second is, after you are bullied so much at school, you develop a thicker skin and you develop more patience. So that patience and that stomach of taking more risk kind of came in me. So that helped me become an entrepreneur, a better entrepreneur.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Wow. Yeah, I was also bullied a lot as a kid, which definitely I attribute that to having to like how I navigate the world now. But I feel like the bullying also made me a really defensive person, because I always, because like as a kid, I wasn't really good at defending myself. And sometimes that would show up in really unhealthy ways where like I would kind of overreact to things. And so that's been something that I've had to really think about. Yeah, so I'm wondering if that resonates.
It does. It does. I think I was talking to my wife, and my wife knows how to read people and, you know, read personalities pretty well. And she always tells me, like, you know, you are stuttering or bullying or a combination of both makes you more guarded. Like, you are more guarded as a person. Like, you guard yourself from emotions coming in. So yeah, I do feel more guarded per se from that experience. Yeah.
But I feel like it also makes us so ambitious too, because we want to like prove to people that, you know, we're more than our stutter and, you know,
yeah.
And, you know, yeah. Yeah, so
there's a huge chip on the shoulder. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
But no, I love the mirror of like that you have around your stutter, around like having that be like a mirror for your how you've really been able to create more productive systems in your work. I think that's such a interesting comparison because, yeah, as stutterers, we really have to think through, you know, a lot of things, and that can translate into thinking through systems and how to make them more efficient. And then on the flip side of that, because I've definitely seen, you know, I'm a pretty organized person and I attribute that a little bit to my stutter, but I also When it comes to like my art and film making, I try to like have that be the opposite, where like that the stutter actually takes me out of that like more, you know, productivity mindset and forces me to like play around in the messiness a little bit more, which is not something that I'm like naturally good at, but I'm really pushing myself, yeah, my perfectionist self, to like play more around like the messiness and the parts of stuttering where it's okay to not say everything the right way, but allow your stutter to kind of come out, if that makes sense.
Very interesting. Yeah, it does. And you're right. I mean, we, like, people who stutter always live in doers. You know, one word, as I said, is very, you know, trying to be organized, trying to be efficient, because that's the only option we have. While the other world is, I mean, very few people know this who don't stutter, is that a person who stutters does not stutter when they sing. So, you know, I call it the creative side of it. So when we're in the creative side, we are like, we are free flowing. But when we're not in the creative side, we are, you know, trying to be more efficient and productive. So we kind of live in both worlds.
But yeah, I'd love to go into the stuttering related project you're working on now, which is around a resource for kids who stutter in the form of games, which I think is so cool. And I feel like games are such a great way to engage with kids. So yeah, I'd love to hear more about that project. And I know it's been a while since we chatted in person, so there might be even updates that I'm not aware of yet that I'd love to hear about.
When I was on a break between my first startup in health tech and now in construction tech, in the break I was thinking of how can I use technology for the goodness of the world and, you know, tech for good initiatives. And I thought a lot about many initiatives, but the one that always stayed on top of my mind was, how can I help people who start up, right? And because that's so personal to me. And after doing a lot of research, and this was like that rabbit hole, I went into the rabbit hole of doing all the research of how stuttering happens and how it gets developed and all that stuff. I think three things came very apparent to me and surfaced out to me. One is, the earlier you can do interventions to reduce the stutter, you can never eliminate the stutter. You can always reduce the stutter. So the earlier you can do interventions to reduce the stutter, the better. Because if you try to do it later, when the kid becomes 18 years old or 20 years old or 25 years old, and they haven't received any therapy or any, you know, intervention, you're not just trying to work on their stutter, you're also trying to work on their psychology. Like, they're psychologically very handicapped if they grow very older. So it's very, it's important to address it early on. So that's number one. Right. Number two is, there is an amazing stat which says 90% of people who stutter do not even know that a speech therapist exists that they can take intervention from. That's 90%. Like we are privileged ones who kind of know that, but on the world, there are 90% of people who stutter who don't know that speech therapy exists for them. Their families and their societies make them believe that this will get better over time by itself. Or, you know, the kind of myth I had in my myself growing up was, in India was my brain, like, they used to attribute that my brain works really faster than my speech, and that's why I started. So I'm a very brainy kid, and it's going to get better. So they were trying to compliment me and encourage me as a brainy kid, and I ended up better. Well, first the myth house, you know, dealing with that, you know, back then. Even the 10% who know that specific exists, the other stat it says is, it takes 18 months on an average to get access to a speech therapist. There's so much of a backlog of speech therapists. And this I'm talking about the developed countries like UK, US, in Australia. So when I saw those stats, I was like, man, I mean, why is technology not coming in and helping them, right? And the third thing I saw was, there was no diagnostics. And if there's no diagnostics, like, how can they improve it? So if you can't measure it, how can they improve it, right? So I kind of related to the way we adults, you know, if we need to go to gym and build up some muscle or reduce muscle loss or what have you, like, we go to gym, we exercise every day, and we measure ourselves. We see the impact on our body, or we see the body mass ratios and all that stuff, right? Or wear some rings or some watches to see what's happening, right? So I was like, can we do the same for kids? Like, can we have a system wherein the software can automatically detect how good or bad the kid's stuttering is and give them personalized recommendations or interventions in form of games that they could practice every day and see the impact improving on them? And the most important part was, can we make it free? Was if we make it pay, if we put a paywall behind that, a lot of kids won't be able to access it because there's so many kids who need it and who can't pay for it.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're thinking about this app to be free of cost for kids. And yeah, and it's not all about, like, you know, just focused on improvement, but also understanding. So you have this idea for an app free of cost for kids. What came next?
So the first thing was to figure out, how do we diagnose the stuttering? So there is a lot of research done on different metrics of stuttering. So there's one called stutter symbol percentage, or stutter syllable percentage, SS percentage, which is out of how many syllables I utter from my mouth, how many are for stutter. So there are three types of stuttering or disfluencies. So there is blocks, repetitions, and prolongations. There are three types of disfluencies. What is the more dominant disfluency for that stutter? At what intensity for what syllables? All become important to know what speech intervention, what therapy works for the kid, right? So there are a lot of, in the world of AI, there's a lot of automated speech recognition systems called ASRs, which transcribe audio into text. Like, we use Alexa or Siri or Hey Google in our daily lives. All of these systems, to make them more accessible for people who stutter, or to improve their own, you know, so-called their scores, they remove disfluencies from their transcriptions. So if you were disfluent, they will make it fluent and then translate the text so that even the person who stutters can access Alexa or Siri or Google, which is a great thing. I love that, that they did that. But I had to build something opposite. I had to build a system where I want to track every disfluency, but I want to know where to start. So there was no ASR built ever in the world to track disfluencies for people who start up. So we are on the journey of building the world's largest audio data bank of about 200 hours of audio and transcription with labeled disfluencies. What's a prolongation? What's a repetition? What's that? Along with statistics. And we're going to completely open source that so that anyone can use that in the world because it needs to be open research. That's step one where we are. Step two is to then work on building the ASR model so that we can do diagnostics. Whenever a person who stutters talks, we can tell them, hey, you are repetition dominant or you are prolongation dominant. And you repeat the syllables re and e and phi a lot. And we're stuck in that. So it's called Speech Quest, speech-quest.com. So that's where we're keeping all of this available. And anyone can go in and download the data bank. And once the ASR model is ready. But then finally, we will release the app, which will also have games. So if a kid has a lot of blocks, we are going to give them games that helps work on the air in the passage. So the air passage games, which helps with the breathing, will help in the box. If the person repeats a lot, there's a lot of repetitions in syllables. We're going to help them with some games, which helps them reduce their speech rate, how fast they speak. So we're going to ask them to slow down their speech problem by playing a game, because once they slow down their speech, they can work on the repetitions. So a better diagnostic. So imagine an app where a kid can download for free with the parental guidance, and they can record their voice a few times, and the system gets better and says, hey, now you have, I've seen so many recordings of you. I know what your score is, where you started. I recommend these games for you, play them every day, like, you know, in a disciplined way. And you will see improvements happening in your stutter speech before it's been measured now. So that's what we're kind of working towards. It's a long exercise because we have to first build the audio text database for fit disfluencies tag. Then we have to build our own model and our own AI model that tracks these disfluencies, and then build that. So we are on stage two right now. I'd rather have stage three probably in 6 months from now. Launch.
That is so exciting. I'm so excited for the launch. And please keep me posted so I can keep our listeners posted. You can find out more in our show notes. And yeah, is there anything else you wanted to share before we finished?
No, thank you. This was very helpful. And yeah, I mean, we are keeping this project pretty open. So it's open for the whole world to consume. And it can go in many different ways. Like, we should not be the only ones building, the team that I'm assembling together for Speech Quest should not be the only one building interventions or AI models. We are even open sourcing the weights of the model. We are open sourcing the data behind the model. So anyone wants to make a new model out of that, or anyone wants to make a new app out of that, go for it. Because there's so less data for people who stutter on the internet. So the more data there is, the more results there is, the better it will be for all of us. So yeah, please check it out and bookmark it, subscribe to the newsletter, and we will keep you updated once the data is fully out, and then the model is fully out, and then the app is fully out.
Well, thank you so much, Kanav. It was so great having you on Proud Stutter.
Thank you, Maya. Thank you so much. I'll be there.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.